Ruth Lopez, this is Alberto Gonzalez, and we'll hear from Mr. Petty again.
May it please the court. 8 U.S. Code section 1231B3 states that the Attorney General may not remove an alien to a country if the Attorney General decides that the alien's life or freedom would be threatened in that country because of the alien's race, religion, nationality, membership in a particular social group, or political opinion. I start with that because I think it's, I like to remind myself that the protection that the U.S. law provides to refugees, at least statutorily defined, is very broad. It's important to note that there are no numerical limits, no exclusionary clauses, no exceptions, no asterisks, other than for criminal convictions. Note that the word persecution doesn't appear in this statute. Note that it is not limited to threats of harm only by the government or the government's agents. In fact, it's, I think, well established that threats to life or freedom from non-governmental actors can establish eligibility for either asylum or withholding removal if the government is unable or unwilling to prevent that harm. The petitioner in this case is a man who fears revenge killing by the family of another man named Burgos, who he helped put in jail, and who was himself subsequently murdered. That family blames the petitioner for Burgos' death. The petitioner, in this circumstance, weighed his choices and fled Guatemala because he believed, quite reasonably, I think, that the police and legal authorities in Guatemala were simply unable to protect him. He did not feel safe in a profound way, so unsafe that he felt that he had to leave his country. And I actually think that's the real issue in this case, or it should have been. Whether or not it was reasonable for the petitioner to conclude that he could not be safe anywhere in his homeland, that his own government simply could not protect him at all. But that is a factual determination, and it's a difficult one to make, even under the best of circumstances. Say if we had a month-long trial with a lot of expert witnesses to delve into exactly whether or not Guatemala was able to protect its citizens from vendettas and how widespread this phenomenon was. It's certainly nearly impossible to do that in a responsible way in a hearing that lasted surely no more than an hour or two with only one witness. It is a lot easier to dispose of a case like this by holding, as the immigration judge did, that the petitioner had failed to show a nexus between the feared harm, the threat of death, and one of the protected grounds for asylum or withholding of removal, which is just another way of saying that the petitioner's life wasn't being threatened because, in this case, of his membership in a particular social group.
What is the social group that you're claiming?
Of course he was a member of a particular social group as defined by the Board of Immigration Appeals in Matter of Acosta. He is a person who took an action to bring somebody to justice, and because of that, individuals, the family of the man who was punished, have sworn revenge against him.
So he is a social group of one?
It's a social group of one, assuming that we don't define it to include all other people in a similar situation. He only knows one thing, that he has an immutable characteristic, and that is that he's known as the person who was responsible for getting this man Burgos, through his testimony, getting him in jail. It's a characteristic he definitely can't change, and it is a specific reason for which he has been targeted by harm.
Who killed him in jail? Who killed the prisoner?
You know, I don't know. I looked for that last night.
Were they after him?
I think it may have been a jailhouse dispute separate from this. It's not clear why. I tried to find out about that.
Don't find out. He'll probably ask for asylum.
He probably would. He may be my client, for all I know. There is case law, I recognize, that says that asylum or withholding claims cannot be based on mere personal disputes. Right. One person goes after another. My response to that is, that's not really what statute says. It doesn't really say how big or how small the class of victims or class of persecutors has to be. In addition, the board and some of the courts of appeals have at times given very generous definitions as to what constitutes a particular social group, even those where the person being, where they're just one person being harmed and who has only one persecutor. I've discussed this in the brief, but my two favorite examples are the board's decisions in matter of Kasinga and matter of S.A. I won't go through the facts except to say that in Kasinga, the person who threatened to harm the applicant's daughter was her grandmother. That was the person who wanted to enact a fairly brutal procedure on her. In S.A., the person who harmed the applicant was her own father. Nobody else was threatening to harm this young woman. And that's about as personal as a dispute gets when it's an intrafamilial matter between a child and her parent or grandparent. A response to that argument would be that although the applicants in Kasinga and S.A. Essentially fled intra-family disputes, the threatened harm was indicative of a larger social problem, and that there were other similarly situated persons who shared the same fears. I agree with that. And I would add that I think that's exactly the same situation our petitioner is in, is that he's not alone. There are other people who are in a similar boat who in this country or some other country would reasonably rely on the police and authorities to protect them, but in Guatemala are simply unable to do that. The dilemma of the petitioner is that his country, Guatemala, simply can't protect him from these revenge killings. It is a personal dispute, but in a it is occurring in a country that is still recovering from 36 years of civil war, has an appalling level of violence and murder, and has a police and court system that is inadequate to deal with this problem. I think the appropriate approach to cases like this is to send it back to the immigration court for a better factual examination of what's going on in Guatemala and whether this person really is in danger beyond the ability of the government to protect him.
So you want us to define the social group as the targets of revenge killers.
Yes.
And that the government isn't able to protect them against these revenge killers.
Yes, I think that's fair. Because I think that's the truth in his case. That's why he's been threatened. And but for that characteristic, he'll be back in Guatemala safe. And it is a characteristic that's not something that falls into a category that would normally be protected as a matter of public policy. He's not a criminal or a drug dealer as in Bastanipur or some other matter. He's an innocent man who tried to do a good thing, and something and what arose was his identification as a person who was being targeted for revenge, essentially. So I think the matter is one that deserves remand.
You're about out of time, so you better reserve the rest.
That's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Ms. Engler?
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Jill Zengler on behalf of the Attorney General. Your Honors, this is a case involving only withholding of deportation. And as the Supreme Court made clear in INS versus Stevic, the standard does involve a finding of persecution. In fact, there has to be a finding of a clear probability of persecution on account of one of the five enumerated statutory grounds for the withholding of removal to be effective. In the present case, what this is a personal vendetta. A man who tragically witnessed a murder, who is now being targeted by that individual's family. As the petitioner acknowledges in his brief, it's purely personal. The case law is clear that purely personal disputes are not persecution within the meaning of the act. While the petitioner attempts to define a broader social group as all of those individuals who may be subject to revenge killers, the record in this case establishes that every time that Mr. Lopez went to the police acted. Because he chose not to go to the police this particular time is not evidence that the police were unable or unwilling to protect him. What it establishes is he never sought the help of the police. He never went to the police to say, please protect me. But the other two times that he did, when the little girl was killed and when Mr. De La Cruz was killed in front of him, the police acted. They put Freddy Burgos in jail where he was killed. And the record does not indicate how that killing took place. Based on the evidence presented by Mr. Lopez at the hearing, there is substantial evidence to support the board's finding in this case that there is no nexus between the harm alleged and any of the five protected grounds. And the Attorney General asks that you dismiss the petition and affirm the BIA. Thank you.
Okay. Do you have anything to add?
Counsel's pointed out that withholding of removal requires a higher showing of risk than asylum, and that's true, but I think it's all too often overstated to make it sound like it's impossible to win these cases. What's required is a showing of clear probability of harm, and really that's a matter of showing that it's more likely than not that this person would be subject to harm if returned to Guatemala. In this case, I think that's demonstrably true, and I think in many cases, I just want to emphasize that just because it's a withholding case, it doesn't mean you always lose. I've won quite a few of them, so thank you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement. We'll proceed to the next case.